Greetings and welcome to the Reasoning with an Optimist podcast for the week of January 24th, 2016. This is Jack Brissett-Mills. Have a lovely conversation again with Kofi this week. So happy that he has these questions. But first, the verses I wrote for Rudolf Steiner's Calendar of the Soul verses for his week 43. This one I wrote 2 years ago. Verse 43. I defy this cold, dark world to chill the yearning of my heart. Where I see death and mere seeming, it will find meaning and compassion as kindling and spark for the spirit's flame. And this one I wrote last year for the same Rudolf Steiner verse. Verse 43a. A great mystery, how this cold, depressing time sparks defiance and warmth in me. My heart gains strength, allowing me to see the world not as shades and phantoms, but richly peopled, real, full of life. Yeah, so Kofi called me a couple weeks ago, or maybe a week ago, and then we didn't have time to finish the conversation. It was all about how we have choice to do right and wrong. Anyway, I called back and recorded it this time, and here it is. Thank you so much, Kofi. This is great. Enjoy. So you were talking of an important thing, and I want to talk about it. I don't have any answers about it. About environment and about race.
Okay, I brought this race and environment just as a specific example of what can be. I didn't mean exactly that, but it's. I think it's just a few examples that I can specifically mention. I didn't mean that, but it's. I think it cuts across a lot of areas of human decision making.
Me too. I totally agree with you.
It looks as if, when I think about it, it looks as if humans, maybe other living things too. But mostly, right now, we are talking about humans. So humans are wired to always make decisions that make them feel, or that will make them survive. So there are choices. But most of the time, if you are a regular human being, not like you.
Come on.
Because you are not regular.
Okay.
If you are a regular human being, there are choices. But humans are more likely to choose the side which make them feel like they will be able, it will help them to survive another day.
Okay.
When you grow up to some stage, in the way your consciousness
20, 28, 30.
I'm not even talking about 20, 30. There is some kind of maturity in human development. If one develops to such extent, then they will know that this makes me happy and capable of living one more day, but I will not choose that. I will choose something that helps the universe.
Nice.
So that is the point that I think some people have arrived.
Yeah.
But majority of us, we are still in the first phase. And so when somebody is in that lower phase and they make some decisions, it seems as if we cannot blame them too much. because everybody wants to survive for one more day. And I think because of that way of wiring in our system, that makes Donald Trump not worry about poor people, because thinking about them will not let him live one more day. He will rather decide on something that will make him richer tomorrow.
Yeah. Somehow he's wrapped up his survival instinct with gaining more money.
Uh-huh.
It might be the very same thing for him, that I must survive, and I know I must survive by making more money. And he doesn't ever consider that he has enough. No one ever thinks they have enough, I think. That's another thing that average normal people, they never, ever have enough, ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also it goes on, it goes to the example I gave, that some people will make a decision, not the decision they make is not necessarily what will make them live one more day, but rather help the universe, humanity, and even though they don't think, they don't bias themselves towards deciding on what makes them happy. Actually, what happens by making that decision makes them live one more day. It's just that it's not the focus.
Yes.
Because by making the decision for all living things to survive one more day,
yes,
they are part of the living things. So they are going to survive one more day.
Yes.
Like if I make a decision to reduce pollution, during the time I'm making the decision, I'm not making it for me to feel better. I'm making the decision for all the universe to feel better. But then I also enjoy,
yes,
and live one more day from it.
Yes.
So that is what is missing, which the person that I know who may be doing that, is one of them, is probably you. So you are not thinking of what makes you happy and survive one more day. You make a decision to make the whole universe survive one more day. And by that, it makes you survive one more day too, because you are part of the universe.
Of course, it doesn't work so directly. And the world may die of pollution if I only do it for one day. And if I'm the only one doing it, of course, the world will still die of pollution. And so you actually, the people doing that kind of gesture of helping others before themselves, I believe they're doing it without actually thinking that it will help, and it doesn't have to help.
Okay.
But they're going to do it anyway because it feels better to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So by that, do you still think that they have a choice?
Yeah, we're good. We're back to the choice.
you're back
at
it.
That's good. Would you remember the question? And let me do two things. I'd like to say two things. One was this great part of the book Slaughterhouse-Five by Kurt Vonnegut. He's a famous American author. He wrote this amazing anti-war book about World War II called Slaughterhouse-Five. He was a prisoner of war in a German prison camp.
Mm-hmm.
And the Germans loved the Americans as prisoners, because here we're talking about the worst place to be on earth, in a prison camp, all men, and the dominant ones are the Germans, and they are making fun and trying to make the British and the Americans cry and hurt each other. Everybody realized that the Americans were the most fun to make fun of, because they all hate each other. This is Kurt Vonnegut talking, that they, as a country, they are all poor. But what's interesting about them is they all hate poor people. This was the amazing realization I got from Kurt Vonnegut, is that Americans hate poor people and they are poor. And I love that. That's, I think, a very true picture of us. We all think we're going to be millionaires any minute. And so we give tax breaks to the millionaires. And we give all kinds of benefits to the millionaires because we are going to be millionaires any minute now. And we hate people who are just like us who are poor. That's the one thing. The other thing, now more directly with your questions about environment, I thought of this. How would you better learn a lesson? Would you have sympathy for a crook or someone who steals? What's the best way? Well, the best way would be for you to have stolen something yourself. And then you realize, I am a thief. Then suddenly when you see a thief, you have a little bit more empathy for the thief because you have been a thief. Also for murderers, if you are facing a murderer, but you have murdered yourself, if you've been a murderer, you have much more sympathy and understanding. You may not change what you were going to do to punish them, but you have empathy. So I think you can agree the best way to have empathy and understanding is to actually have done the thing. Maybe this is the problem with the rich, is that they can't imagine being poor and being hungry. They can't see how looting occurs in a riot and how people burn buildings. They just can't understand because they've been so removed from poverty for so long. They don't understand. And how the police treat poor people differently than rich people. And how the police and the judges and everybody, if you're rich, you don't go to jail. When you're in jail, the people around you will say, he could not have been rich because he's in jail. If he was rich, he would not be in here. And so we're talking about how a person can best have empathy and sympathy. It is by being the thing which is being poor or being a murderer, being a crook. So now we have to say, is death actually part of what we're talking about? I really think whenever you and I are talking, we have to agree that death is not important. What's important is life. What's important is how we live. And the fact that we die young or old, we keep coming back. We keep coming back and we're learning every time. And how do we learn better? We learn better by being racist. If you are racist and cruel for no reason except color, you will more surely over time, you come back, you more surely, I believe you more surely, will understand how that is wrong. It's wrong. It's completely wrong. So this is maybe flippant, maybe silly to say, but I believe that if we are talking about these questions, why are so many people racist? Why are so many people evil to each other? Well, that's the fastest way to learn not to be that way. If we can agree that we live again and we die and we see our acts and we come back and we have another chance, it's better that we can look back in our past and say, I totally understand how that happens. I totally understand. So that was my very feeble attempt to try to understand. I'm not answering you, I'm answering me. How can this be? How can there be so many people behaving so badly? Now that's a silly, maybe that's a silly answer, but when I think how I want empathy for things, and when I see a crime, I want to understand it. Mark Twain, I'm reading Mark Twain right now. He doesn't think he has to talk to anyone to write any story about anything because he knows he has every human thing in the whole world is in him. He's really quite a master. He knows how horrible he can be. And so he's completely understanding of every crime, every act.
All right. Well, let me bring this scenario.
Good.
I cannot drink alcohol.
personally you.
Yes. And people are struggling to stop drinking. They're always trying to make New Year resolutions and making choices, and there is alcohol here and there's water here, and they will always be battling their own senses of. And I have it so easy. I don't have to drink. I'm not even trying.
You're talking about choice again now.
And it looks as if, to me, it looks as if I don't even have to make the choice because I'm restricted. I don't even have to choose because I have drank some before and I nearly died. I was and even if I sip, if I take a little sip of anything, even if they don't tell me there's alcohol in it, and I take a sip of it, the way it does to me, I immediately know that there's alcohol. And so I don't even have to struggle.
Right. May I stop you? May I stop you there now?
Okay.
Obviously, you have no choice, right? And my question now is a little different. How can you possibly sympathize with people who have a choice and they choose wrong all the time? How can you sympathize? How do you have empathy and sympathy for them when you yourself can just say, why don't you just don't do that? Don't do that. It's so easy. Just don't drink. It's so easy. How can you possibly have sympathy when you can't experience that choice yourself?
Okay. You see, this is where some form of maturity, which I don't know how humans grow into that, comes in. With this nature that I have, I still have such sympathy for people who drink. I don't know how it came about. but the way I kind of mentally think about it is that he doesn't have the pain that I have when I drink. So it's really probably very hard for him to stop. So I take myself as I'm having it so easy. But there are things that I have difficulty with. So I compare the things I have difficulty with what they are going through as choosing alcohol or non-alcohol. And from there, I do have sympathy.
Very good. That's special for you, I think. That's not normal, I don't think. Like you said, you started this conversation with talking about if you're poor, you don't make decisions that hurt the poor.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? Uh-huh. So there's no sympathy for people who are not poor. They have not learned the sympathy for the poor.
Yeah, I started with being an African and knowing how.
But you yourself have figured out a way of picturing other people's problems in a way that bridges the gap between how you don't understand how they have a choice, but you sympathize somehow, even though you don't have the personal experience of that thing, you can imagine it somehow.
So this is why I think that in some stages of human growth and development, somebody may be in a stage where it's very difficult to make one decision or to avoid making one decision. It looks like they would rather make the other decision. But then if you grow to some stage, you are able to, even though you are not born in the poor state, you still have the capability of entering or visualizing yourself in the poor state. I felt bad when I brought in the white jargon or misreading
It's always difficult. It's always touchy.
Yeah, I felt bad after he hung up. But I didn't mean to hurt you.
No,
I wanted to point out that you are different, and even though I'm saying that, I'm giving all the examples I have been doing, I have been giving, but for some reason, which I don't know why, sometimes I weep for people who are not smart like me. I don't say I'm smart.
No.
But when some people cannot make a decision to save themselves, especially when we work with developmental disability people, they don't have and also children, little children, they don't have the complete capability of deciding to not cross the road at this time.
Yes.
When the car is coming.
Yes.
And I have to weep for them.
Yes.
And so also the developmental disability people, they don't have the capability of being jealous. If we are to work, when I was in Camp Hill, we had a man, Alan Kugler. Alan Kugler does every work they give him, and after that, he wakes up at 4 a.m. and cleans all the toilets in the house. And it's not his job. And I get up and I see him doing the work for everybody. And I said, why doesn't he have that sense that which other people have that, well, I have done my part, you have to do your part, I'm not going to do it. And then he will be, and then start cursing people who didn't do their work. He doesn't do that. He will do it, and he will not complain, and he will not blame you for not doing yours. And it makes me feel like I'm short. There's something short in me, something that this person has that I don't have. How can I gain that?
Yes.
And so I've been trying, I've been making the effort, and that is what my work people, the place I work, they see and they think I should feel bad that I'm doing things that I'm not supposed to. I'm doing more than I should do. But if I compare myself to Alan Kugler, I'm not doing it. Yeah. I'm not even doing enough.
No, I know. It's great.
So so I'm worried about this thing, but I don't think I'm worried that I am not doing it. I'm worried that...
Yeah, we were talking about other people. How come other people?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we were talking of ourselves at all, but we were using ourselves
uh-huh.
to try to understand, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. When you said the white, why is it? I was trying to ask Barbara tonight, where on the world have the white people not taken over? Wherever they show up, they take over.
Mm-hmm.
And the China and Japan are the only two I can think of, really.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the reason they're not in India now is that as a group of people, the world evolved enough that people could see that that was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually mattered that it was wrong. England actually cared to appear to be moral, where mm-hmm. before that, they didn't care, I think. But China and Japan, if they did take over parts of it, they pulled back long ago.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Why do white people have that? I think they're, if you could say in general, the white people have something which is they're more afraid than other people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're able to think of methods of hurting other people better. Like the weapons we've developed, white people have developed amazingly cruel weapons. You wouldn't say that they're smarter. Mm-hmm. If you develop a way of hurting people better than anyone else, that doesn't make you smarter. It makes you conquer them. It makes you win the fight.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean you're smarter. Anyway, I'm trying to think of generalities of white people mm-hmm. over time. And I don't think that I'm lacking in those things at all. I think I'm very good at devising methods of pain and torture for other people. It's I don't know why I'm not actively pursuing it, but I totally feel it in me. Oh, I wanted to do also, this is actually what I want to talk about. That was just an aside. I don't even think that's important. I read a great essay today by a friend, a woman who, she was a grown woman with a child going to school, and she was fixed up with a man, and she went to the restaurant to meet the man for the first time. And there he was on the cell phone talking loudly, and that was her first impression. And mm-hmm. she knew right away that this should not be my man. I should not be involved with him. Mm-hmm. Instead, he kisses her and is loud to her, and she gets kind of swept off her feet. Mm-hmm. But again and again, she has clues, very strong clues. She's writing now about herself. She mm-hmm. has very strong clues. This should not be. I should not be with him. Mm-hmm. Again and again, years go by. Finally, she's in a car crash. She's at the hospital. She calls him to help. And mm-hmm. he says, no, I'm with Mary now. I can't leave her. I'll see you later. Mm-hmm. And so she finally realizes, after all this, why am I being so stupid for so many years? Mm-hmm. So that's what I want to talk about. We have the voice in us. There's a voice right away that says, you should do this. Or even you must do this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right.
And then, see, I'm hoping that everybody has that voice, and that when they don't listen, that's their choice. Mm-hmm. When you're talking about choice, it doesn't mean that they have no choice. They actually mm-hmm. choose not to listen. And I would feel so much better about that, because that means they will learn over time. They will learn that they should have listened. Mm-hmm. My worry is that people don't have the voice, and they just do dumb things without mm-hmm. even knowing that they're dumb. They're being mean without realizing they're being mean. I would hope that's not true. I'm hoping that they really know, and there's a voice in every one of us, and they choose not to listen. That's what I'm hoping.
So the voice you are talking about must be the voice of the uprightness.
Conscience, whatever, conscience, or higher self. Go ahead.
Would there not be other voices shouts to them, do this because this is what is going to make you live one more day?
And you see people who actually have voices that are not good voices, yeah? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, we hear about people who have voices.
Now the voice you are talking about is that.
It's a good voice. It's a good thing, yeah. But you're talking about this.
And you think everybody hears that?
I'm hoping. Mm-hmm. But because it's, why is it me and why is it you and why is it her? Why is it not everybody?
So. Okay, I think that is what I'm missing. That's what I'm missing in my understanding. Because I think I have not. Well, I have not thought about that part, that everybody has that straight voice.
I don't understand why I do, if other people don't. I'm a man, I'm a normal man. So mm-hmm, I'm mm-hmm. assuming, but then they say psychopaths, you understand mm-hmm. better than me, you've studied these things. Psychopath has no caring, no voice. And mm-hmm. so there is obviously a large group of people that do not have the voice of the uprightness that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I'm hoping that...
I think over it.
You understand.
That brings a solution to me, to my question. That brings a solution to my question. If I may be partial, but I think that brings a complete solution to the question I've been asking,
which is
people don't have choice.
Okay,
that's my proposition, that people don't have choice because they are molded in a way to do some things to make them live one more day, feel happier one more day. And they don't think of the other things, that if I am doing this to make myself feel good, how much what is the effect on the other? I'm thinking that they don't have that ability. What you are saying, that there is a voice, makes my question obsolete.
Do you agree there's a voice?
I know there is a voice for me.
Okay.
I don't know whether it's all the time, or the voice is there, but it's low on one side and very high pitched on the other. And the high pitched one is the one that I lean towards.
Okay.
And luckily for me, which is not, I don't think it's my making. Luckily for me, the high pitched one that draws my attention more is also somehow coincides with what is good for the universe.
Nice.
I don't know if that is true, but it seems like if I follow that, the one that is louder for me, I seem to get a confirmation that it's probably the better way to go.
Yeah.
Just as I was talking about the drinking.
Yes.
It's like the voice is there that you can drink, and the louder voice is that don't drink. And when I don't drink, I get the confirmation from people that, oh, that is a good one. And even those who have been drinking want to be like me.
Now, you see, you seem to be satisfied with this conversation, and I'm getting farther from it now. Because if it's true, like you say, we lean toward the louder voice, then again, mm-hmm. I believe there's no choice.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I'm getting lost. Personally, I think that I can make my voice stronger or weaker,
mm-hmm.
Louder or quieter. Over time, I can cultivate
mm-hmm.
the one or the other. You're suggesting there are two voices. There's one that says drink and one that says don't drink.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe I can cultivate over time the correct voice. But I also believe I can shut it up. I can say, fuck off, get away, and shut it up. And then I can deaden myself so much mm-hmm. that I can do things I could never do before. I could actually have more freedom in a way
mm-hmm.
by murder and theft, and
mm-hmm.
which I cannot do right now. I cannot do those things.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I'm a little lost with the.
it's a complicated thing for me, but I think the light you shed on that voice
okay.
has kind of brought me
okay.
together.
Maybe we have to talk some more about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I do think that woman heard it and ignored it.
Mm-hmm.
Heard it again and ignored it. And every time she got hurt, mm-hmm. she heard it, didn't do it, got hurt. Heard it, didn't do it, got hurt again and again. And then finally, why did it take so long? She knew all along, she knew it was wrong. Mm-hmm. And so this idea of living one more day, doing the thing to live one more day, maybe that's what she thought, but I don't think so. I think she was trying to silence. She did have a choice, and she was trying not to do the one thing that she knew she should do. She was trying to be free,
mm-hmm.
which is contradictory to a choice. She's trying to be, she's more free than I am.
Mm-hmm.
She was doing the thing that her voice said not to do. And so she was actually experiencing freedom. Maybe that's what freedom mm-hmm. is you realize you can do the wrong thing.
Yeah.
But when you realize it's the wrong thing, it seems like there's no choice anymore. Why would anyone do the wrong thing?
Mm. Yeah.
Very complicated, Kofi.
Yeah, it is. Well, I admire you. Maybe it's not too good to say things like that. Because you have okay. Supposing you are going on a path, you are going to a certain town, you have never been there, and back home we walked everywhere, and then the person who told you how to go missed one thing. He didn't tell you that when you get to a certain point, there will be a fork.
Yeah.
And so you are walking, you are following his direction. You are walking, and it happened to me many times.
Yes.
And if you ask anybody from my area who is like my age, he will tell you his own experience of that.
Yes.
You walk and walk and walk, and you come to a junction, and then you don't know which one goes to the town or the village or the.
Yep.
So at that point, any of them can be the right way.
Yes.
And any of them can be the wrong way.
Yes.
So at that point, I think that you have a choice to choose one side or the other. Because none of them makes any difference.
And there's no way to learn standing there. There's no way to know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you make a choice and go on one.
Yeah.
And I think you specifically, you have come to a stage where you have the ability to stand on a junction and decide, going here or going there, I'm still me. It doesn't change me. If I do good to somebody, it doesn't change me. If I do bad to somebody, it probably wouldn't change me, but I don't like it. So I see you as somebody who has matured to a point that doing good to somebody, you do the good and you're not expecting anything from them. So it doesn't really make your life. So you choose to do the good because you like to do the good. It's not because you are going to get a better life, like you're going to get a new building, a new house.
Right. How does that have to do with the fork in the road?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me now about the fork in the road. What does that have to do with it?
The fork in the road is when you are in a state where going either way doesn't hurt you, but you choose to go the way that you feel like, well, let me just take this one because it won't hurt me anyway. Whilst some people are not in the fork way yet, they always see that one way is better. The one side is biased towards one side. Okay. They don't have a neutral state.
Okay.
They always have a mind that this is better.
This
is better for me. This is better for me.
Now I see that.
And for people who don't have that, who cannot be at a neutral spot like that, they are always, it seems as if they are always being pushed to one side where they think that they are going to feel better. You have passed that. I think you have passed that stage.
Yeah, I let you say things about me without objecting. I hope you don't mind if I don't object, but I might object.
I know you probably don't agree, but I have no one else to use as my example.
Yes, yes. I have practiced not caring about things like, where will you sit? You know, you come into a restaurant and there are chairs. And it's not that I let other people decide. I see if they care.
Mm-hmm.
And if they say, no, you sit, I will sit anywhere immediately. I won't say I'll sit anywhere. I'll just sit anywhere. There's a difference. If you make people tell you what to do, that's unfair to them. Sometimes people want you, do you want pizza or hot dog? And if you say, I don't care, and if they say to you, oh, just pick one, I will say pizza, or I'll say hot dog. I won't care actually either, but they demand that I make a decision. I practice making decisions and not caring. I practice deciding without caring all the time. I like that you brought up the forked road because I wouldn't linger there, I don't think. I would just go because I can, like you say, be myself either way. That's a very nice way to say it.
And I think that's a form of, I think that is a form of maturity where one can stand there and say that it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, but I'm choosing to do this.
And not wondering the whole time you choose the one, you don't go, I wonder how, if I should have, maybe I sh we should go back. That's very crippling. I feel very sad for people who have to keep thinking about the fork in the road. Even they took the one way, but they keep thinking about the other way.
Yeah, that's right.
Very hard, very
Yeah,
hard.
it's hard. It's hard. Anyway, so
Thank you, Kofi.
I think that is it.
You're so kind to talk to me. This is wonderful. Thank you very much.
Well, I like listening to you. I like listening to you.
I
It
love.
somehow it puts me in some in a perspective of where I have to work on.
You remember the two num you remember the two numbers that Pythagoras said were friends? I forget the two numbers, but if you take the factors of one, they add up to the other, and you take the factor of the other, they add up to the one. So the two numbers are friends.
Yeah,
Because I look at you and I go, I love Kofi, and I want to be like Kofi, and I love hearing him talk. And so somehow we like each other a lot. It's very nice. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you, Kofi. And those numbers that Pythagoras knew as friendly numbers, amicable numbers, 220 and 284. Hidden within each one of them is the other one, as good friends are. If you have any questions or comments, please drop me a line at my website at reasoningwithanoptimist.net and try to listen again next week. This is Jack Bressett Mills. Bye-bye.